Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. Postseason baseball is coming back to Boston Friday night at Fenway Park. The Red Sox will begin a best-of-five series against either the New York Yankees or the Oakland Athletics, who play a one-game wild-card elimination game tonight in the Bronx. With me now to talk about that and the week in sports is Radio Boston's own Chris Sidorek. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Anthony.
So, Chris, if you're a Red Sox fan, and I should say it has been alleged that I am, who do you want to be playing come Friday? Now, I have to confess, the Yankees terrify me. So maybe I'm hoping that Oakland knocks them off tonight? What do you think?
Well, first of all, I have to say I resent you questioning my fanhood. I came in with my face paint and everything. I am a Red Sox fan as well.
Okay.
And I totally get where you're coming from. It's an interesting question because this is a pretty interesting matchup. You're talking about two of potentially the best wild card teams ever.
Right.
The Yankees with 100 wins, the Oakland Athletics with 97 wins. 97 wins, that's more than any team in the National League.
It's only amazing. Only one team with 97, yeah. The other with 100, and one of them is going to go home after one game.
One game. It's crazy. You've got to love playoff baseball.
Yeah.
So these are two teams that absolutely can hit for power. The Yankees had six guys on their roster that hit for at least 20 home runs. The Oakland Athletics had five guys who hit for at least 20 home runs.
Wow.
So you know baseball. Obviously, that means tonight's probably going to be a 1-0 pitcher's duel.
Right.
If you look at the regular season matchups, the Sox won the series against the Yankees 10-9, not exactly dominating fashion. Oakland Athletics are a really interesting case because they have been the absolute hottest team in Major League Baseball in the second half.
Mm.
They went 42-23 for the best record across the league. Their starting rotation is a little bit weak, but they're really built on a strong, strong bullpen and offense up and down the lineup. The Sox actually lost the series, regular season series with Oakland 2-4. I think, and I hate to say it because I have been a fan for all my life and I understand the history, I think I would rather play the Yankees.
Interesting.
Two side notes. Now, obviously, there's a little bit of a personal thing here. My dad's a Yankees fan, so that makes things a little more fun for me.
you like that inter-family warfare.
Oh, it's nothing better, right?
Right, exactly.
And ultimately, I will not be rooting for the Yankees, even though I think they're a better matchup because it's against the Red Sox religion, obviously.
Interesting. Well, I'm thinking of our old friend Bill Littlefield, who always said that he roots for the best story. And I think the best story would certainly be a Red Sox-Yankees series. Don't you think so?
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. I mean, these two teams have been entwined throughout their history in maybe more than any other two teams in any sport. It's been incredible. I actually want to pick Oakland in terms of who I think will win tonight. They're playing with no pressure. Their guys are all playing above the expectations, and those teams tend to do well in the postseason because they're not thinking too much. They're just going out there and playing. But I just think the history is too much. The story is too much. I think the Yankees are going to take it home tonight in a close one. And you know when the last time the Red Sox and Yankees met in the playoffs?
2004? No.
Yeah.
2004.
2004.
Okay,
ALCS.
And we know what happened there.
That's right.
All right. Okay, that means the Red Sox will lose the first two and then win three in a row.
Well, right? Let's hope it maybe doesn't play out quite that stressfully, but yeah.
Okay, so the Red Sox held a media day yesterday, and we heard from rookie manager Alex Cora, who led the team to this astonishing record, 108 wins this season. What does he have to say about this team as it heads into the playoffs?
Well, he's really focused on carrying that momentum from the regular season into the playoffs, and you know what 108 regular season wins gets you in the playoffs, right?
Right, absolutely nothing.
Yeah, exactly. So he's going to try to really keep things the same in terms of his decision making. That being said, Cora is a matchups guy, and that goes everything from pinch hitting to guys he pulls out of the bullpen to even his starting rotation. He actually said yesterday that Nathan Eovaldi will start game four most likely if they play the Yankees, but if they play the Athletics, he's not quite willing to make that commitment. So it really could kind of depend on who the hitters are, which team they're facing, and all of that. He also talked about the home field advantage, how much the team loves playing at Fenway. They hit better there. The crowd obviously helps give them energy as they go forward.
Right. Yeah, that's got to be a huge. And the Red Sox did incredibly well at Fenway Park this season,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, 57-24 on the year at Fenway.
So what about Chris Sale, the team's ace? He had a couple of stints on the disabled list. He didn't seem to be throwing as well when he came off the disabled list toward the end of the season. What did he say about him?
So Alex Cora said he is not at all worried, and he's 100% sure that Sale is going to be ready to go come playoff time. But
uh-huh.
I think, yeah, exactly. I think it's important to look at the context here. You're talking about he went on a DL stint. He came back for one start against Baltimore, threw 98, 99 miles an hour, and went almost immediately back on the DL with shoulder inflammation. And since coming back that second time, his velocity has really been down. Cora said that specifically in this final start against Baltimore last Wednesday, that what he saw out of Sale actually, despite the performance and the down velocity, was pretty encouraging.
the fact that when the game was on the line and that last one, and he hit 94 a few times, it wasn't 99, but he went from 88, 89 to 94, I know he's there. I know he's there. And the fact that he came to me right away, you know, after the game is over, and he felt it on the mound and he saw it on the video, I'm like, okay, you know, this is mechanics.
So whether it's mechanics or an injury, there is no doubt about the fact that Sale's velocity has been noticeably down. In that Baltimore start last week, his fastball averaged just over 90 miles an hour. That's the lowest average fastball of his entire career.
You're scaring me. All right, we got to move on to the New England Patriots for a moment or two. The Patriots quieted critics on Sunday by blowing out the Miami Dolphins 38-7. The Pats are now 2-2 on the year. How big was that win for them on Sunday?
It was actually a huge win, which is saying something for September football. I've been a Patriots fan for a long time as well. This team always kind of struggles out the gate, and by November or December, they're clicking on all cylinders. But had they lost to Miami, they would have been down 3 games to a division opponent. That is a tough hill to climb in a 16-game season.
All right. So I've got to ask you quickly before we go about Celtic star Kyrie Irving. He made headlines last year when he said on a podcast that he believed the earth was flat. He's given different answers since then about whether he actually believed that or not, but he addressed it at the Forbes Under 30 Summit on Monday. What did he say?
Well, interesting. I bet you didn't think we'd be talking flat earth in a sports segment, but here we are. He's gone back and forth about whether or not he was initially joking. He seemed to finally admit that he did genuinely believe this when he said it at the time.
At the time, I was like huge into conspiracies. Everybody's been there. Everybody's been there like, yo, what's going on with our world? You know, like you click a YouTube click and it goes like how deep the rabbit hole goes.
He even went on to apologize to science teachers everywhere.
All right, so he's climbed out of that flat earth rabbit hole.
That's
okay,
right.
Glad to hear. All right, that's Radio Boston's Chris Sitterick. Chris, thanks so much for coming.
Thanks for having me.